destinies of all.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For he sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Welcome to Soaring Like Eagles with Minister Larry Bertrand and Prophetess Mary Bertrand. Please sit back, enjoy the show, grab your Bible, and get ready for a word of inspiration and praise.
Amen, amen. And thank you all for tuning in to another episode of Soaring Like Eagles with myself as well as my beautiful First Lady, Miss Mary.
I hope everyone has had an awesome Monday, and I hope that everyone is ready for an awesome word today. I'm so excited.
And excited we are. Also excited to also have a special guest on air with us today, all the way out of Charlotte, North Carolina. We do have Minister David Clark on the line as well. Minister Clark, how you doing?
I'm good, sir. I'm
Hello?
Good. And yourself?
I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great, man. Glad to have you on. Glad to have you on.
It's a pleasure to be on. Thank you both. Thank you both so very
thank
much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And before we get started in today's topic, just want to take a moment and encourage everybody. This is hard times that we're dealing with right now. We are dealing with the quarantine and with the virus still spreading, and the states are trying to open back up, and people are wondering what to do. And all things seek God and be in prayer. Be in prayer for God's covering over you and over your house and over your health and over your family. Let God give you strength for whatever decisions you make. If you are going to go out, take precautions. I would encourage everybody to still wear their mask and still, practice social distancing, even when out as well. I know the quarantine has been hard. It's been especially hard for myself because I like going out and networking and meeting people and socializing and everything like that. So it's like I've been on punishment. I tell my wife, I just want to go outside. So, yes, sir. Man, how you been dealing with the quarantine, Mr. Clark?
You know what? First off, before I answer that, let me go ahead and give my personal exception of the welcome, because welcome someone, they have to accept it if you all don't mind. First off, it's so ironic, Minister Larry, how we met just now, but I wanted to tell you this earlier, but I just said I'll wait. We are actually family. Here's why I say that, because my aunt Bertha does not address me by my name. My name's David. She does not address me by my name. She calls me Larry.
Oh, wow.
Now, what's funny is also, guess what my mother's name is?
What's your mother's name?
So we family.
We're family. Amen.
But to answer the question, it's business as usual for me. I have a few work from home businesses anyway, so I've been able to still make my income. My businesses has actually doubled since the quarantine, so
Amen.
That's a blessing. And I'm normally a loner anyway, so I feel right at home. I'm definitely an introvert, so I feel right at home. Only thing is seeing the concerned spirits around. That's the adjustment. The biggest adjustment I'm having. You know, normally I'm used to going out and, you know, seeing smiles and seeing, you know, families together and, you know, people just having a good time rocking out. Now it's just everyone's pretty much by themselves. You know, mask, gloves on. You know, 6 feet apart.
Right.
You know, and they get that just concerned look on their face and. That's what's killing me the most. It's
like
the joy of
people's spirits. I think people's spirits have definitely been low during this time, you know, of quarantine and everything like that. I know people have been, you know, really down. And I know I've been calling a lot of my friends and checking on them, just saying, hey, you know, how you doing? Because I know a lot of them just been having really low spirits with everything going on. I know a lot of people did suffer financially, and spirits are low because of that as well. So I made sure that I've been calling a lot of people in, praying with them, trying to uplift them in that capacity.
Yeah.
Because I do understand that is needed. But, yeah, I definitely see the difference in people's attitudes, I guess, lately with everything going on. You can really tell that it's really affecting a lot of people mentally. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, we know that the health is a factor. We know that the economy is a factor, but the mental health is also a factor in this as well. And I think the mental health kicks in more because we have no clear answers from our government as far as what's going to happen. Nobody seems to know. And, you know, I think that's the thing that has everybody in fear the most. We don't know when this is going to stop. We don't know when things are going to go back to normal. We don't know when life can continue as normal. We don't know if we're at risk of getting affected, if we're not at risk of getting affected, if the virus is almost over, if it's not almost over. Those are just unknown factors, and I think all of that is weighing in on people. I even watched a video today where they asked the governor of New York, saying that people are, like, getting ready to kill themselves almost because they're so depressed about not working and being quarantined and everything. Their life as they know it has changed completely. And some people are at the point of suicidal. So I think mental health definitely plays a factor right now, what we're going through today.
Yes, sir, you're absolutely right. You are absolutely right. And I want to commend you for having the heart and, you know, the loving heart that you have to, you know, be able to be concerned about your brothers and sisters. And, you know, just a simple text, a simple phone call, you know, hey, ma'am,
mm-hmm.
hey, sis, you know, hey, brother, just wanted to check in on, you know, make sure you and the family are good. You know, is there anything I can do for you? You know, and if I can't,
right.
you know, I pray that whoever has that specific resource to meet your specific need, you know, I pray, you know, to God that you're able to connect with that person so you can get the help that you need. I definitely appreciate you on that. I mean, I appreciate you both.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. I think sometimes we underestimate how big a phone call could be, you know?
Amen.
I think sometimes we just think, oh, it's okay, you know. They're good. I'm sure they're okay. Or would we think they'll call me if they need me?
Yeah.
But sometimes, you know, pride kicks in. You know, pride kicks in. You know, they don't always want to tell everybody what's going on with them and everything like that. And you never really know what's going on with a person until you talk to them. So I think that's good to do the check-ins and check in with people and things of that nature as well. I mean, because, like I said, these are all, you know, times that we're dealing with that we've never dealt with before. And I know that in my generation, man, I know my grandmother was saying the same thing. So we're definitely just being very prayerful over everybody, amen,
amen.
Throughout this quarantine process and everything like that. So I'm so glad that I was able to connect with you. Amen. For those who don't know, I'm part of a Facebook group, the Young Preachers Connection. And it was through that Facebook group that I was able to reach out to Mr. David Clark here and ask him to be a part of the show. He quickly replied with yes, and I definitely
Amen.
Appreciate that.
Thank you.
And I want to say that to also say, too, and encourage the preachers that we have and ministers that we have to network and associate with other ministers and preachers and everything like that as well. When God is doing something, amen, it's good to be able to connect with other people who are like-minded and who can share with you and your experience and with the move of God that God is having. So I'm so glad to be able to have these connections. in place as we move forward. So thank you again, David, for making that connection with me, and I hope that this is a long-lasting connection.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Amen.
We're family.
Amen. We're family. You said it. You said it. So when I come to your house, man, I'm going straight to the refrigerator, okay?
Listen. We both will be.
Okay.
We both will be. You can go
amen
first, and I'll just follow up behind you.
Just follow behind. Amen.
Amen.
And for those who are just tuning in, so thank you all again. This is another episode of Soaring Like Eagles. It's myself. It's First Lady Mary Bertrand. And you want to say something, Ms. Mary?
Hey, you guys, thank you so much for tuning in with us for Soaring Like Eagles. We really appreciate it. And we want to also thank everyone that was able to tune in yesterday one of our launches for our new church, for Living Spring Community Church. We really appreciate everyone that was able to listen in and tune into the live. And also, David, now that I know that you're in North Carolina, when we come up there, you already know we're linking. It's going to be fun. I'm excited.
Absolutely. We're going to tear everything up from Fayetteville to Charlotte.
Amen.
That's making a lot of coverage.
That's coming a lot of territory, right?
Yep.
Yes. Amen. We're going to go ahead and go on to the next part of our show, but we're going to go ahead and play a little music from Sharon Moore. It says, "I came to praise him."
I'm
Amen, amen. And that's what we want to do is just praise God and worship him and bow down before his presence. Amen. God is still moving and God is still awesome, even in the midst of everything going on. And we just want to make sure that we give all glory and all honor to God because he is definitely worthy of all the praise. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Once again, this is Soaring Like Eagles with myself, Larry Bertrand, my beautiful First Lady, Mary. And again, we have our special guest on the line from Charlotte, North Carolina, Minister David Clark.
Hi, everybody.
So now I wanted to go ahead and get started on our topic for this evening. It's a topic that I had touched on yesterday when doing our live service for the church. And I wanted to touch on it again because I feel like it's so prevalent. But the topic is for today is a woman's worth, a woman's worth. And when I picked the topic, I came from the scripture of Psalm chapter 5. Hold on, give me one second. Oh, I'm sorry. Psalm chapter 3, beginning with verse 15. Psalm chapter 3, beginning with verse 15. And David, let me know when you're there, man.
I'm sorry. Can you say that to me?
I said, let me know when you're there, when you had that scripture pulled up.
Okay, pulling it up now on my Bible Gateway. And then,
I'm sorry. It's not Psalms. It's Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3.
All right. I know where you're headed with this one.
I'm had a moment.
All right, I'm here.
Okay. And then you have to read scripture.
Yeah. What verse?
Proverbs 3:15.
3:15.
She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all of her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. Amen.
Amen. And when I was thinking about this topic, amen, and really thinking about where to go with it, one thing that I wanted to touch on when calling it a woman's worth, right? And it started because my wife came home to me one day, and she said, "Dad, something God gave me." And I was like, "Well, what's that?" And she told me, "I'm seeing that women are more afraid of their husbands than they are of God." And when you think about that, you think about, I know me as a man, I'm hurt to see women being neglected and abused and mistreated and cheated. You know what I'm saying? It, you know, it kind of does something to me as a man to see a woman of God being treated less than the queen, the kingdom that they are. You know what I'm saying? So so when I thought about that, I thought about a woman's worth, right? Because the thing about it is that a woman who knows her worth is not going to just settle for anything, right? A woman who knows her worth is going to have standards. She's going to have things that she's not going to tolerate. She's going to have her goals set. You know what I'm saying? A woman who knows her worth is not going to let you come at her any kind of way. And again, another woman who knows her worth is definitely not going to let you treat her any kind of way. You know what I'm saying, David?
Yes, sir. I absolutely do, and I'm 1,000% agree. Definitely.
Yes, sir. So when we talk about a woman's worth, one thing I talked about was that that for women to realize exactly what their worth is and, you know, exactly just how precious God made them. And if we talk about how precious God made them, we think about that Bible scripture that we just read, right? more precious than jewels. You know what I'm saying? She's in peace. She's pleasant. All of these things, right, that's describing, you know, this beautiful woman. But the thing is, too, the woman has to possess those things of being peaceful and pleasant as well, right? I think that's one of the things that we have to realize is that, you know what I'm saying, the woman has to be able to move in peace, you know what I'm saying? If you go into talking about a Proverbs 31 woman, it talks about a woman who's able to build up her home and, you know, who's able to increase, you know, her home and be a foundation to her home and be able to take care of her home while the husband works. You know what I'm saying? That's what it talks about. We're talking about a Proverbs 31 woman. But pretty much a Proverbs 31 woman is a woman who's able to hold it down, right? A woman who's able to hold down the family, you know what I'm saying? A woman who's really able to be a teammate with her husband, you know what I'm saying? A woman who understands the family and the family values and how to take care of a family and nurture the family and help the family to grow is what the Proverbs 31 woman talks about. And when you think about a Proverbs 31 woman, amen, we have to think about the rarity, amen, in that as well. That's one thing I touched on is rare, amen, finding of the true Proverbs 31 woman, right? I mean, we know we have a lot of women out there who pretends, amen. We have a lot of women out there who say they Proverbs 31 and they walk around with the Bible with them all day, every day, amen, but they don't carry it in their heart, amen. And that's the thing about it too. We sometimes we're deceived, amen, by what a woman tells us versus what she shows us. And I had said something one day, and I think it's so true, is that oftentimes people show us their colors, but we still go work and grab our crayon box.
Amen.
Right? People show us their colors, but then we still go in and grabbing our crayon box, right? We still think that we can change the color somehow, right? We still think we can kind of make it the way we want it to look, right? It's already been colored in. It's already been filled in, amen? And they show us the colors that they have, but we still grabbing our crayon box thinking that we can change something. The thing is about it is that when somebody shows you who they are, you have to truly believe it. Amen. And the thing is, we have to stop letting women into our lives, amen, and thinking that we can make them a Proverbs 31 woman, right? I think that's one thing about it, too, that we as men sometimes, we think, oh, she'll get there. She's not there yet, but I'll make her get there, though. I'm going to help her to get there. That's all she needs. She needs my help. You know what I'm saying? But that's for God to do. And that's not for us to do. You know what I'm saying? That's God's job. And when God is ready to, when she's ready to accept God and allow God to move that role into our life, that's when it will happen. But the thing is, we can't speed that up by making it happen any faster. Am I right?
Oh, brother, you are more than right. You are more than right, Minister Larry. Now, the thing is now, Minister Larry, cuz, Prophet's married, cousin. I have to tread very lightly when talking about this because, you know, from you already know a prophet is married. You know, a man is only one word away from, so I got to make sure I choose my words carefully. I coined this phrase, a man treats his woman, treats his lady how he views himself.
Amen.
A woman accepts the kind of behavior that she views as herself. So
amen.
A man to treat a woman how he views himself. A woman to allow mm-hmm. herself to be treated according to what she deems as her worth. Which is so funny that you mentioned that, Minister Larry, is that we have got to stop trying to recolor, revamp, redraw, re-anything someone. Maya Angelou said it. If someone shows you who they really are, believe them. And it only takes one time. It should only take one time for us to see who somebody really is, believe that. But instead, we do exactly what you said, Minister Lair, and you're absolutely on it. We try to overlook it. You know, we let too much stuff slide. And then next thing you know, we marry. 5 years later, we're miserable. Because we don't take the signs that God is showing us seriously enough.
Amen. And you know, that's part of my testimony in itself. I was married before I met my beautiful first lady now. But I was married before, and I understand exactly what it means to have a Proverbs 31 woman now, because in my first marriage I did not have that. And the thing was, it was unpeaceful. My home was not filled in peace. It was so much confusion in my home, to the fact that I stayed at work late, not even getting paid for it. I would stay at work late talking to people, searching Facebook on my computer at work, doing whatever, just to pass time. So if I could delay the time that I get home, because I know once I get home, I'm going to be greeted with drama. And I'm going to be greeted with confusion. So I will stay out as late as I can so I can delay the time. I'll pull up at the house, man, and I'll sit in the car, and I'll start calling people from the car, and I'll sit in the car listening to music, and I'll have a good time in the car because I want to, again, delay the time before I have to walk into the door and deal with the drama and deal with the confusion. And sometimes if I was able to push it back just enough where she's already laying down by the time I come in, I felt like I made it. You know what I'm saying? But then I realized that that was a bad way to actually have to live. And I realized that that was not a healthy relationship, and it was causing me to lose who I was in myself, and to lose my vision, and to lose my ministry, and to lose the things that God had for me to do, because with the confusion and the drama and everything going on, I was not able to focus clearly because there was no peace. Amen. God is not a God of confusion. Amen. And when there's confusion around, God cannot be in the midst. Amen. So we have to understand that we cannot have confusion in our home and expect our home to be blessed at the same time. Amen. We have to get rid of the confusion that we have going on in our lives and the confusion that we have going on in our homes to really allow God, the Spirit of God, to move into our homes and to move into our lives. Amen. But the thing about that, and I learned it myself, is when I was in that relationship, amen, and I was at the point of a breaking, amen, I talked to her father. And her father told me two things, Doc. You know what it was? He said, when you married her, she was not ready to be a wife. And he said, now you can do one of two things. You can leave now, and you can find somebody who's ready and who's already ready to step into that role and know what that role takes, and they're already there, and they're already ready to be the wife that you need. Or you can wait for her, and maybe one day she'll become that wife that you always expected her to be. But right now, she's not there. And in that, my thing was wondering, how long do you wait, right? How long do you wait in praying that things are going to get better? How long do we wait and hoping that, okay, it's going to change eventually? I think I was at the point of understanding that this is what it is, and if I want better, then I need to go ahead and get out now because it was unhealthy. And that's when I had moved away from that. But the thing is, too, Doc, is I realized that I wasn't in much prayer during that time, right? And I wasn't really seeking God for my wife. You get what I'm saying? I think it was more self than it was God. You know what I'm saying? It was, I know God didn't tell me to get into that marriage. I definitely won't put that on God because I know that's not what God told me at all. God definitely did not tell me to get into that marriage. But I was in myself, and I'm like, oh, I might as well. We've been together for this time, right? We're already living together, right? People are already saying we should get married. Why not get married? You get what I'm saying? And sometimes we let that drive us, but we don't let God speak to us the way God needs to speak to us, right? And that's the thing that I had to realize. And in that, though, I was able to find myself. And in that, I was able to redefine exactly what I was looking for in a wife. Amen. And then I was able to make my outline very clear and say, these are the things I absolutely need in the woman I'm going to marry. Right? And I cannot compromise on these things. I have to have a woman who's a believer. I have to have a woman who's in the Word. I have to have a woman who's being spiritually fed the same way I'm being spiritually fed. I have to have a woman who's able to lift me up and not put me down. I have to have a woman who understands the role of a wife and what it means to really be somebody's wife. You get what I'm saying? I had to make my outline clear on what it is that I needed. You get what I'm saying? And when I did that, I was able to have my eyes open clearly when I found my wife, because at that point, I was able to cross off the list. Okay, she's doing this. Okay, she has this. Okay, God, thank you for showing me this. You get what I'm saying? And, of course, it's not perfect. Amen. And there's, you know, flaws of involving both hands. Amen. But the thing is that I was able to understand that the things that I needed in a woman, amen, is what she possesses. Amen. That peace. Amen. That wanting peace. Amen. The thing about us both is that we both want peace in our house. You know what I'm saying? So any confusion, as soon as it starts happening, one of us will start praying. Because we don't let confusion enter into our home. It's not good for our headspace, but also because we have children as well. And that's not something that we want to show the children. You get what I'm saying? So it's important to us that we always keep peace in our home.
Yeah, yeah. And,
what's important to you in a relationship when you're first starting out, Minister Clark?
I'm sorry, can you say that one more time? Can you repeat your question?
Yes. What's important to you? Like, what's the value that you look in, that you look for when it comes to Proverbs, when you're looking for your partner and who you would want to see yourself invested in?
Let me think about my particular warrior choices, because I am under heavy scrutiny. But again, I see why you and your husband are yoked, because you all are truly equal. Because I literally learned, and I wasn't always like this, but I learned. So what I call it my grocery list, of things I want, and here it is too, the price I'm willing to pay for it, because I'm just like y'all. Like, once my peace and my happiness is no longer in the equation, I don't care what the circumstances, I have to go. It's not worth it, because I'm not guaranteed anything in life but death. I am 26 years old now. I am not guaranteed to make 27. So whoever I put in my life, if they're not contributing to the happiness, nobody. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing too, if you all don't mind me saying this, nobody can make you anything. Nobody can make you anything. For whoever is listening, whatever young lady is listening. And regardless of the age, you're always young. Listen, no human, whether man or woman, can make you anything. We can't. We don't have that power. We can't make you happy. We can't make you do anything. Those two things we cannot make you be. But what your job is as a single, this is for man or woman, your job is to make yourself those things. Make yourself happy. Happiness is your own choice. Happiness is a choice. Mm-hmm. And happiness is a power. You have those powers yourself. So once you learn how to be happy with yourself, then you can start thinking about allowing somebody to come into that space with you. Now, here's my, in the answer to your question, is one of the things is, one of my main things is, when I look for a partner, is contribution. If you're not contributing to anything, my intangible things, you know, things that a receipt can't, things that don't come with a receipt, those are the things I mainly look at. Forget a receipt. I can get my own stuff. I don't need anything for you. I don't need anything from you. I really don't. But what I need is the stuff that don't come with a receipt. Can you contribute
right.
to my happiness? Can I be going, you know, on business trips and out on ministry and don't have to worry about who's in my house? You know, can I bring you around different settings and different people of various backgrounds, and can you not do anything to try to make me look good, but can you shine in that room? Can you be yourself enough? You know, because I do a lot of different things. I'm in various backgrounds. Can you do that? You know, how do you view yourself? How do you deem yourself worth? You know, because I realize this because I do counseling as well. I realize this is that people don't understand the basics of life, but then they try to up and get married. And that's why I really
exactly.
relate to you, Elder Laird. I really, really do. I relate to you, brother, because too many times I have seen, for example, people get married, but you didn't look at the outline, Elder Laird. You didn't look at the outline of the person
mm-hmm.
you were trying to marry. Here's what I mean.
Come on.
You can look at a parent's family, I mean, at a person's family, especially their immediate household, and then deem, is this something I want to be a part of? Because the apple does not fall far from the tree. You can tell a lot about a person just by looking at their parent situation. Here's why I say that. Because, for example, the young lady I marry, whoever I marry, I'm not just marrying her. I'm marrying her models.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Meaning her parents. I'm marrying into
exactly.
that culture.
Right.
Can I see myself in that culture? Can that person see
mm-hmm.
their self in my culture, in my family? It's just a lot that goes with it. And I'm so glad, Elder Laird, that you did something that 99.9 of people that breathe oxygen on this side of heaven don't do. You looked at yourself, one, and then two, you admitted there was a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
You were man
Amen.
Enough and adult enough to be able to do that. And now, like you said, now then you created that grocery list. You know, you knew what you wanted. You knew exactly how much
mm-hmm.
you were willing to pay for it. Now look at what you got.
Mm-hmm.
God.
Amen.
Look at how he works.
Amen. Hey, you know what? I like what you said.
I'm sorry.
About.
This is a passionate subject for me. Like.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? I like what you say, too, about seeing the perfect family. Amen. I know that was a big thing for me as well, is a person's family and how their family operates as well. And that was another thing about my last marriage as well, is that there was a lot of chaos and a lot of confusion in the family. And I didn't think, like, oh, this is confusion in the family. I wonder how our marriage is going to be. I didn't think like that then. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But it opened my eyes a lot more, amen, when I got out of that relationship. Amen. And when I met my wife now, amen, and I met her family, I was very grateful at how welcoming and how loving and how warm her family was towards me. Amen. Her family, her sisters, down to her brothers, down to even her uncles, was all very loving towards me when I first met them, and I appreciate that. And then even later on, I had a conversation with my mother-in-law. And I was telling her, like, you know, most people talk about how much they don't like their mother-in-law. But I was like, but the thing is, we love each other. And she was like, I love you like you're my own son.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know what I'm saying, to hear that. And but to actually be shown that, too, by your in-law means so much. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
To have that kind of love, amen, where she's able to bring you in like she gave birth to you herself. Really, you know, means a lot as well. And I'm sure that my mother feels the same way every time she talks to Mary, because they stay on the phone longer than me and her talk. Me and my mom talk for about 5 minutes. She'll get on the phone with Mary, it's an hour later, and I'm like, baby, still on the phone with my mom?
Yes.
So I understand, you know, the dynamic of having that family role. Family does play a part in your marriage.
Yeah,
and let's admit that family definitely plays a part in your marriage. It's hard to have a successful marriage when your loved ones and the people that you lean to the most does not like that person. You get what I'm saying? And I understand that, hey, I'm not married to my sister, or, hey, I'm not married to my mother, but these are the people that you hold dear to you. And when they see something wrong, and when they see that there's something that's not right about that person, it does something to you spiritually, because you're like, okay, I love this person so much, but why is it they don't see in them what it is that I see in them, right? But sometimes what it is that we think we see in somebody is not what we actually see in that person. Come on now, it's that crayon that we're trying to create, right?
Yes.
It's what we're trying to draw, right? Oh, they're able to do this and everything like that. We talk about their capabilities versus their ability. You get what I'm saying? Oh, we know that they're capable of doing so much, and they're able to do this. And if they just do this, I know one day they'll be right here and everything like that. And the thing is, we can realize somebody's capabilities all day long, but until that person realizes for themselves exactly what it is that they're capable of, they'll never be able to obtain it.
Amen.
I had my god-nephew stay with me for a period of time, and he was in high school, and I was trying to get him to graduate high school and to finish high school and move forward to the next part of his life. And I had to sit down and tell him, I told him, I said, look here, I could want you to graduate all day long.
Mm-hmm.
And I could want it so bad for you, but unless you want it for yourself, the what I want, that gonna matter.
Mm-hmm.
You have to want it for yourself. You for yourself have to want to do better. You for yourself have to see the vision in your life. You for yourself have to see where it is that you're going. You for yourself have to see your goals and your ambitions. You have to realize that stuff for yourself. And I can help you to realize it, but me realizing it for you is not going to help you.
Amen.
Amen. That's the thing about, I think that's the thing that women need to understand sometimes as well, is that if you're getting with a man and you're talking about the capabilities, amen, it's not about what he's capable of doing. It's what is he able to do right now? What is his abilities, amen? What is it that he's doing right now, amen? Yeah, I know he's capable of serving the Lord, but is he serving the Lord right now, right? I know he's capable of being a faithful member at the church, but is he a faithful member of the church right now? I know he's capable of being able to raise a family, but does he have the skills to raise that family right now? I know he's capable of being oh so faithful, but let me ask, is he being faithful to you right now? I know he's capable of being this honest and upstanding man, but is he being honest and upstanding with you right now? You get what I'm saying? We oftentimes go into things looking at the capabilities and not looking at the actual ability. And that's the thing that I want our women to understand. Stop settling for less. You know what I'm saying? Stop settling for anything less than what it is that you're worth, and anything less than what it is that you know you deserve in your life. You know what I'm saying? That's the thing about it. I know when I met Mary, she was at a place in her life where she knew exactly what it is that she wanted in her life. And I remember one of our first dates, I even talked to her, and I said, do you see yourself getting married again? And she said, if I ever get married again, it would definitely be the Lord telling me. Because I'm not moving without the Lord telling me. And, I mean, I had to appreciate that coming from her, because guess what? I felt the same exact way. I said, I'm not moving again. I'm not going into another marriage. I'm not spending a dime on another wedding. I'm not buying another tuxedo. If God did not tell me this is the one,
amen.
I'm not doing it. I'm not signing another marriage license. I'm not going to no more courthouses, amen. I'm not standing for no more preachers. If God did not tell me this is the one, amen. So when we make that covenant, amen, and we're saying that, Lord, this is my wife, you know what I'm saying, and you confess this before your family and your friends and the church and everybody else, it's a significant meaning to that. But the thing is that people oftentimes don't understand the meaning and the sacrifice behind marriage. And they go into a marriage blind, not knowing exactly what is the sacrificial things that take place in the marriage. And then you're wondering why that month later you're looking into a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because you look so hard into this wedding, right? And the wedding has to be so beautiful and everything like that, but you didn't take the time, the same amount of time to make sure your marriage was going to be as beautiful as that wedding is.
Amen.
You didn't take the same amount of time.
Also, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. Now, go ahead, Doc. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I was going to chime in real fast and just say, you know, don't make decisions off of potential. especially when it comes to your intimate life, there is no such thing as potential. It's either
Amen.
You is or you ain't. You know, like, sorry to use my country slang slash Ebonics, but it's no
yep,
such thing.
Yep, that's what it is. Either it is or it ain't. My mama say either you gonna barbecue or you gonna mildew. What we doing?
Exactly. What we doing? I'm so glad you were taught that question because, to piggyback off what you said, Minister Larry, you got to be a teacher somewhere, bro. You got to be because you're teaching. But I want to say this too. I'm going to encourage and insist, Prophetess Mary, I'm going to need your help on this. I'm going to need your backing. You ready?
Okay.
I'm going to need all the women, regardless of your relationship status right now, I'm going to encourage you / urge you to put the coloring book up.
Amen.
Okay.
Put the coloring book up. What I mean is, Minister Larry, this is you. We get the picture, right? We get the picture of the man, and we see what we like, we see what we don't like, but we try to color over the stuff that we don't like, try to make it what we like.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, that man didn't work out. Let me turn to the next page. You get another man. Okay, I like this. I don't like that. Well, this time, maybe it was the color, so let me try a different color this time and try to, you know, maneuver and scratch out what I don't like. Oh, man, it happened again. So next thing you know, you got this whole book of men that didn't work. Listen, let me preference my thoughts before I say it. Sometimes it's not the men. Sometimes it's actually you. Sis, auntie, Nana, Grandma, we need you to know your worth first before either entering or inviting anybody else into your personal life. You have to know your worth first. Learn from previous mistakes. Build from it. I know this is extremely unpopular, especially for our community, but go seek help. I had my first counseling session this morning, and I left it. I felt amazing. Although it was with someone I knew, my pastor, but still to be able to touch on certain topics, you know, to be able to touch on certain topics that I normally wouldn't have.
Mm-hmm.
It helps. Learn you first. Don't go from relationship to relationship to relationship. Because next thing you know, you dating all the exes in your current, rolled up into your current. Be able to detox.
You know, I tell people all the time that you have to be able to love yourself before you're able to love somebody else. You get what I'm saying? And the thing about loving yourself, too, is that you have to be able to be comfortable with being single.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You have to be able to be perfectly happy being single to the point that you realize, you know what? If I have somebody around, amen. But guess what? If I don't, amen as well. You get what I'm saying? Because when you're at that point of being comfortable being single, you're not going to be able to, you're not going to tolerate anything right then. You get what I'm saying? You're not going to let anything come through because, you know, I'm comfortable being single. If I got to go back to being single, then okay, I'll do that. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm not going to let you come through and disturb my peace right now.
Right.
And I was just perfectly peaceful when I was single.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? And that's the thing
exactly.
about it. You have to be comfortable being single. Me and Mary both tell you, we met each other. We were not looking for a relationship. And matter of fact, I think I was just at a point where I just wanted to stack my money up and be free. And I think Mary was trying to have a hot girl summer.
Yay!
Oh, I know.
It was ruined. It was ruined. I was.
So I know that a relationship was one of the furthest things from our mind right then, but as we became together, it just built in its own way, you know what I'm saying? Without us even pushing it any forward, it just started building. We were around each other all the time. Every day we're spending time together and things like that. And she told me one day that as I drove off, God had spoke to her and told her that I was her husband. And you know, and that's the thing, too. When God speaks to you, amen, and tells you that somebody is for you, amen, that's when you have to hold on and hold dear, right?
Amen.
But we have to be careful and tune in to the voice of God and be able to understand when God is speaking and when God is saying that, amen. But, you know, I know sometimes I get on her nerves right now, and she'll tell me, Lord, you told me this is my husband. But you know what I'm saying? It's that reminder, amen, that keeps us grounded in the relationship. It's that reminder of saying, Lord, you told me this is for me. You know what I'm saying? I may not be feeling it right now, but God, I'm staying faithful to it because this is what you showed me. This is what you told me. You know what I'm saying? And that's the thing we can do when we realize that the voice of God has moved and really put this person in our lives. But also another thing that I touched on yesterday, and I want to touch on it again, Doc, is that we as men cannot expect our woman to treat us like kings if we're not in return treating them like queens.
Mm-hmm.
Did you catch that one, Doc? Did you catch that one? We cannot expect our woman to treat us like kings, like the kings that we are, if we're not treating her the way she deserves to be treated. You can't just sit there and talk to your wife any kind of way and then expect for her to cook the dinner for you later on. As a matter of fact, if I talk to Mary a little bit crazy, I might be afraid to eat dinner that day. I might want to go ahead and get takeout.
Yes.
Amen. But the thing is, amen, is that you cannot sit there and treat your wife any kind of way and then expect for her to, in return, treat you with the love and the respect that you deserve. Because you have to realize that she also deserves that same love and respect, even more so because the Bible says that treat your wife as a love your wife like Christ loves the church.
Amen.
And we think about the love that Christ has for the church. Amen. The love that Christ has for the church is unconditional love, right? He loves the church so much, and yet he got frustrated sometimes, right? He had to throw a few tables around, had to get some things in order, but it never changed the love that he had for the church.
And it's so ironic, brother, that you're mentioning that, especially that verse, because literally earlier today, I was literally listening to a sermon that my pastor preached on that very thing, and he was talking about first we as men have to submit to God. To therefore learn how to submit. And then once a woman, like once we meet, you know, our woman, you know, who we're interested in, and you probably did this, well, there's no probably. I know for sure facts you did this, my sister over there, Sister Mary, is that you had to also submit to her, but you also had to give your mission statement. You had to tell her, listen, this is where we're going. This is where we're going. This is where you're going. You had to lay it out. You had to lay out your plan. And in return, then she submitted. Mm-hmm. Then she let you opt in, opt out clause lead because you showed her what you were about. And that's unfortunate that more of us men don't do that. We don't know how to properly lead. We don't know how to, you know, submit to God and love our wives, you know, unconditionally. Because again, I do a lot of counseling. I see conditional love. Well, as long as you're doing this, I'll do that.
Mm-hmm. Amen. That love of conditions, right?
That's not unconditional.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And you know what? In leading as well, I found out that you have to allow God to allow you to lead. Amen. You have to in leading you have to be able to follow.
Amen.
In leading you have to be able to follow, and in following you have to follow Christ and let Christ lead you into what to do next. I know for me and Mary, I think one thing that really allowed for her to be able to step back and allow me to lead as a man is when she was going through something and she was in a hurtful place, and I put everything down and turned everything off, and I grabbed her hand and said, "Let's pray."
Yep, got me.
But it's the power of knowing that she had a man who was able to pray through some situations, and it was that prayer that put her mind at ease. It was that prayer that put her heart in. It was that prayer that dried her tears away and said, okay, you're right, we're going to lead it to God and everything's going to be okay. You know what I'm saying? And there's that encouragement. And that's what we need to be able to do as a couple, is we need to be able to encourage and lift up each other.
Amen.
And if you're not, and if you're not able to do that, then maybe you need to redefine. We need to redefine exactly who it is that we are with. Amen. Because we should be able to encourage and lift up each other in everything that we do. Amen.
Yeah, amen. I'm just blown away, man. I'm just blown away. I really do appreciate you all for allowing me to come on. I've learned so much. Like, I know I wasn't as vocal as I wanted to be, but I was just taking notes. Whenever someone is teaching, and, you know, especially when you know what you're talking about. I'm a student of the game. I really am. I get out and I take notes. I take notes. So I definitely appreciate you all for having me on and allowing me to be a part of your empire, you know, even as a guest for this past hour. I really do humbly appreciate that, and I thank you all.
Oh, definitely, because we're family now, so, you know.
Yeah, we really are.
When we get to the Queen City and I'm knocking on the door, we're coming over. My baby already said have something in the refrigerator, and then we got to go to church because we got to go to your church also out there. We're very excited. So
yes. And again, Dr. Whenever you're down in Texas, man, you're definitely welcome to come and visit and see what we're doing at Living Spring Church. That's the church. It's a fresh ministry. Amen. I just started, and God's
congratulations
very
to you both.
Rapidly in there.
Thank you.
So I'm very excited about that, man. We're running a little bit out of time here on the air today, but I do want to take a moment and allow you to introduce yourself and let people know where they can find you and how they can find you and the church that you belong to.
All right, I'll be obedient. My name is David Clark, out of Charlotte, North Carolina. You can find me on Facebook as David Clark, Clark with no E, and or on Instagram at DC Inspires. And I go to Greater Mount Moriah Primitive Baptist Church in Charlotte, North Carolina as well, under the leadership of Elder Chester Brown III.
I'm sorry,
he has four generations. Elder Chester Brown IV. The third one must be talking about.
Amen. Okay. Amen. So anybody who's ever out, who's in Charlotte, North Carolina, that might be tuning in, or who's looking to visit the Charlotte area, when we're allowed to go places. Amen.
Whenever that may be.
It's right. Whenever that might be, right? but when that does happen, you all might definitely want to check out and visit the that church. Amen. I believe that God is doing great things. If you are an example of that church, then I know God is moving greatly in that church.
Yeah.
Amen. So definitely, definitely.
Don't make me Michael
that.
Jordan cry live on the air.
No, you're making disciples. That's really good. I do want to say this because I know we have to go, but really, Minister Clark, with you being 26 and being dedicated like this already, my gosh. And I want you to understand, because you are so young and because of what you represent, the devil's going to come at you super hard. So I want you to stay, and it can be in the form of a female, okay? So I want you to stay prayed up. I'm being serious. I want you to stay prayed up, and I want you to stay covered. Okay?
I appreciate that.
Stay prayed up and stay covered.
Honestly do. But listen, he was probably itching towards me, but now that I got y'all, he definitely ran off because y'all are no joke. y'all fire. I can tell. I can definitely tell that. I can definitely tell.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Hey, I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it. And this has been another episode of Soaring Like Eagles. Thank you all so much for tuning in. For everybody who tuned in, thank you all for tuning in. Once again, it's been myself, Pastor Larry Bertrand, our First Lady Mary Bertrand.
Good night, you guys.
And again, Mr. David Clark from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Thank you all so very much.
Yes. Let's remember that without faith, it's impossible to please God. But with God, all things are possible. Who cares?
God cares.
Amen. Amen. Let's have a blessed week, everybody. Thank you all for tuning in. I pray that everybody stay blessed. If you want to hear more gospel music, we have Let It Play Mondays on My Gospel Soul Radio. We have 219 to Talk on Thursdays. We have Fitness Evolution on Saturdays. So we have a lot going on with My Gospel Soul Radio. I can't even name it all. I know we have Busting Loose, like Busting Loose and Faith with Pastor Tebow. That's going to be taking place on tomorrow. So tune in to My Gospel Soul. Follow My Gospel Soul on Facebook and on Instagram. There'll be a lot of things coming up. Day that I can guarantee you this will not be your last time on the show. So when I call you again, just be ready, okay?
I absolutely will. It better not be my last time. This is great.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you all so much. And again, have a blessed week. And may God's favor shine on each and every one of you.
All right, everybody. Have a good